Coming up on TMS, we try and sum up Nerdtacular the only way we know how.
Brian got a big bag of big box of awesome things.
Yeah, bags in there, too.
Bag, sure.
The poop-covered man is in trouble now.
You won't want this kind of domestic violence.
Most deaf won't eat his vittles.
Most definitely won't. Metallica to perform at Comic-Con.
That was a better way of writing it. I wish I put most definitely. Fitness geek.
Jury duty.
A few emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
If I am feeling particularly ambitious, I make a real curry plus all the side dishes. Many curries are made with meats on the bone, but for my guests, I only want to serve small boys. I like to look around for some really exotic and very hot ones.
At least they're willing to talk.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Hey, Birdum. This is The Morning Stream. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream, a post-Nerdtacular episode of The Morning Stream. The aftermath, the point at which my voice barely works, and I have an unnatural, not tied to any illness cough. Yeah, it's that time of year again, everyone. And it's Tuesday, July 9th, 2013, and it's Brian Ibbett over there. Hello, Brian.
Hello. Yeah, the voice is not tied to any illness. It's just tied to speaking nonstop for three and a half days.
I kind of wish I could keep it. I'll be honest with you. I kind of wish I could stay down in this range and
right now.
Do a little Brian Dunaway.
It's really good.
Yeah, it's not
Ain't
bad.
Ain't enough of your love, babe.
So Brian and I are fresh off the N13 truck, like a couple of errant rotten pieces of apple and fruit.
Wow.
And you've got a house guest over there. How'd you end up with this refugee? What's going on over there?
I drew the short straw and ended up with Sebastian Van Dyke in the house. No, Sebastian is visiting the States. He's over here from the Netherlands, and he is going to be staying with me for a couple days, and then he goes down and we ship him off to the Mayus.
Oh, wow.
And then he's with the Mayus for a couple days, and then he goes back to Netherlands. But prior to that, I mean, you've been all over the place.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah, where give us a generalized idea of all of the places you've been on this whirlwind sort of trip you've been on.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. First off, I was in Ireland for like maybe an hour. Then
what was a layover?
Layover. Yeah.
Well, no, you can't count that.
I am going to.
I've been to Dallas Fort Worth over 100 times and O'Hare.
Yeah, each time I got a coffee and boarded my plane. Fantastic.
I'm just trying to give you guys an idea of the extent of all the traveling that I've
done. Right.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, by way of Ireland and Boston, I made my way up to Montreal for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Then took a Greyhound to Ottawa, stayed there for a couple of days, then flew to Denver by way of Chicago, Minneapolis.
Wait, you have to take a bus from Montreal to Ottawa?
You don't have to, but if you don't have anybody that can drop you off.
Yeah, I thought you could just walk. You can't just get on a...
Three blocks down.
You can't just get on a little scooter and just drive
over. It's a little bit bigger than that. So yeah, it's
everyone keeps telling us this. It sounds like utter bullcrap to me, but I keep hearing that it's bigger than we think, Ryan. All weekend, I was told by the Canadians.
It's true.
Anyway.
And that there's more than one... Tim Hortons there too, which blows my mind.
What?
I've only seen one though. I've only seen one.
Did you go there? Did you get some?
Yep.
And how was it?
Good.
Good. Did you get donut?
No, we had the little Timbits, like the donut holes.
Oh, okay. They call them Timbits?
Timbits. Oh, my gosh.
somebody in marketing is patting themselves on the back for that one.
Yeah, they're like, Timbits. It's like his testicles. Get it, guys? All right, go to print. So here's what I want to know. Is it truly, because the way the Canadians talk about it, they come down here with their pockets full of money with holes in it going, listen to us, Tim Hortons is the only place you ever want to spend any freaking time of your life. It's the greatest thing ever. The coffee is bar none, the most fantastic liquid made by man. Did you come away feeling that way, or are you kind of like, meh, it's all right?
Well, it's good, but I have good coffee at work, so I can't really complain.
I like that. The coffee at work is just as good as Tim Hortons. Take that, Canada. Take that. All right,
fresh,
so you leave.
We have fresh ground coffee at work. So.
Well, they're programmers. They got to make sure they have really good coffee there.
Oh, yes. If the coffee machine is broken, all
the developers are broken.
Yeah. Yes. So you left. So you leave. You leave Canada. Where do you go after that?
Nerdtacular.
Ah, all right. Yeah, I saw you there for that. You are a, by the way, Sebastian is a large man, very tall.
He's an imposing, he's got an imposing figure. Or a,
I'm not even that tall for a duchy. I mean, my neighbor is 6'9". I mean, really?
6'9", good Lord, be in the NBA or something going.
Wow.
I am so.
Neighbors with my nude bowl or something.
I am so happy to be playing for the Heat this year. Like that. all right, cool. And then over to Brian's after that. That's fantastic.
Yep.
Yes.
And you got how
he's
much?
Put me to work too.
Then I passed the duchy to the Mayus, and he goes on the left hand side.
Can you make sure it's on the left hand side when you do it? Yes. When you make the exchange, okay.
I will do that.
Fantastic. Well, it's good to have you here, Sebastian. Welcome to hang out with us during the show today.
Well, yeah, let's show you. Let's put him on camera here. There we go.
Hey guys.
Yeah. Here. And Brian, I can't. I don't know that we could sum up in short terms and words how utterly awesome the weekend was.
Oh no, it would be impossible.
Yeah,
Couldn't even. I mean, you know, you think about all these moments, and then you're like, oh, but then there was this. Oh my God, there was this. You know, it was like Scott Fletcher's performance at the and Jury's performance during the Andrew Allen concert. Actually, all four concerts were just fantastic.
Everything was stellar. Like nothing that was planned went bad. Things that weren't planned went great. That right. came out of nothing.
Oh yeah, there were so many organic things that came out of that. I mean, Scott Fletcher as the referee in Game 2.
Amazing.
Was Scott and Christine's idea. Like they told us right after the All-Stars won. We were sitting up there at the area having drinks. You know what you ought to do, Brian? You know what you ought to do?
What's that?
You ought to do have a referee up there.
Mm. And you said, well, tell me more. And he said,
bleep you.
All right.
Exactly.
Fletcher, Fletcher for me was a high point of the event. He was damn special this year.
Everything he touched turned to gold.
It really did. I mean, he said just everything was great. This lounge lizardy version. Just to give you guys an idea, if you haven't seen if you weren't there and you haven't seen the video, and for those who were there, I'm sorry for rehashing this, but you also probably loved it, so you're probably okay with this. Scott Fletcher comes out and does, with Andrew Allen playing with his trio, who were amazing. Those guys were great. Man, I loved that. I thought that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was.
It's not even normally the kind of thing I like. Like, I don't love freestyle jazz that much.
Yeah.
But no, there's something about that. Their style combined with the kinds of covers they were doing just really nailed it. So, anyway, Fletcher comes out and does this lounge lizard style, pull up a stool with a stack of cards in his hands version of the Enterprise theme from Star Trek Enterprise, which we've all talked about on this show how much we hate.
Right.
And then proceeds in the middle of it to do this like slam poetry style reading of the Scott at Scott Proclaims Twitter account, which is weird stuff we say on the show and other shows on the network. And then
crap, I lost Tibbet.
And every time he'd do a lost Tibbet thing, Andrew Allen is, of course, riffing in real time and cranking up the jazz improv and just hitting all the beats. Oh, my gosh, dude. Still to this minute, it might be the highlight of the whole freaking weekend for me.
Yeah.
Didn't expect it. Amazing.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time since I've laughed so hard that I've snorted and tears streaming out of my eyes. And that was it. That was the event that that had me – had me doing that, because I knew a little bit. I knew he was going to do the Enterprise theme. I had no idea about the rest of it, and it was just perfect.
Amazing. You know? Other highlights.
Perfectly executed.
Other highlights for me are things like Schwood's performance, just jaw-dropping. I had no idea.
Yes.
I really didn't know what to expect, and holy crap, that guy has got a polished performance like you've never freaking seen. And it was just amazing. But for me, the really overarching highlight of everything was all the producers we had there and that kind of camaraderie and friendship that exists between us all. That is just a palpable, awesome thing.
Yeah. Yeah. With that, I mean, basically the just off the top of my head, and forgive me if I am forgetting somebody, but not having Daryl or Patrick Beja there, but everybody else, right? I mean,
yeah,
is there
everybody else? I can't think of anyone else other than, you know, I'm trying to. There's a few other people I'm trying to work up.
I mean,
in
you
this.
Know, Scott Kurtz and, sure. and people like that that are also on other shows, but
sure, and they're just fresher to the experience, but right. you know, and we really did miss Patrick, but
yeah,
and others, but I just sure. really felt like a real strong sense of how great this group of people is, but more over than that, 650 of the coolest damn people ever, and I love talking to everybody and hearing their stories and meeting their kids and hanging out and signing stuff and just shaking every possible hand I ran into, and the venue was beautiful, and I have nothing to complain about. I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
Yeah, I was worried. I was so nervous leading into that first day. Get over that first day, second day.
Right, exactly. Once you get past the first day, then
yeah. And you at home, you heard the Saturday morning stream, which I, again, another highlight for me. And it's one of those things, one of these days I want to sit down and maybe I'll do it in a diary or something. I want to talk about the instinct of that particular episode, because when I went into that, I kept thinking, oh, I got to overplan this. I got to think of a million things we got to do. We got to try to replicate the Daily Show in every way. And instead, right up, kind of literally up to the night before, I kind of threw my hands up and said, why am I trying to do that? Why am I trying to force that? Because it was an important thing to me. It's like a flagship show. I wanted this to be, for both you and I wanted this to be a strong part of Nerdtacular, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the way we did it, I think, was the right way, which was we spent very little time on the usual stuff. You know, we want that there because there's a little bit of fun yeah. to be had there. But what we really, where we really struck gold was bringing up all our regular daily guests and having them come on stage and just entertain people. And they so totally did. Who yeah. knew Tom Merritt would down an entire bottle of Clamato?
Oh my God. Chugged a whole
so
bottle.
Gross. So gross. I hope he's okay in Bora Bora or wherever he is right now.
Is that where he's at? He's in Bora Bora?
Yeah. Which I always thought was a fake movie place. I didn't realize it was like an actual place you could visit. I always thought it was just some fakery, but apparently that's a real place. But my sister Wendy came on stage and totally nailed it. Audience interaction was a lot of fun with that. Speaking of audience interaction, ladies and gentlemen, TMS's original black fan who was there the entire time with his lovely wife, Renee, his hot wife, Renee. Holy smokes. JJ, hey, what's up, man?
What is going on, Scott, Brian, and Sebastian?
How you, hey, how you
how
doing?
How good do you look, man? You guys are... You looked fantastic.
You guys looked amazing. I mean, these are look, just to give the little people some perspective. You guys, you know, a year ago, how much have you calculated how much total weight since you guys set these goals that you and Renee have lost together?
Oh yeah. So Renee and I both together since July 1 last year, we have lost a total of 186 pounds.
Oh my gosh, that's another dude. Out, by the way, it's a whole other dude.
Yeah, when I started, yeah. man, I was 458 pounds.
Jeez.
And I'm down to 356. I was at a 56 waist. I'm down to a 46. I'm buying pants from Walmart.
What?
Yes.
Wait, you're not buying them at the Army Surplus anymore and making them out of tents and stuff? That's not happening?
Dude, I'm not having to go to Casual Mail dropping 60, 70 bucks for a pair of jeans. I went to Walmart yesterday, got three shirts, a pair of jeans for 34 bucks.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Welcome to the rest of us.
And I'm glad I don't live in Utah because Wendy brought those doggone Dunford Bakery donuts, and oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're good, dude.
That was really good. I had a chocolate covered. I had half of a chocolate covered one.
I don't do cake donuts at all. But yeah. I absolutely loved that donut.
No, they're insane. They're so good. They're a local like freak out here. People love those things. But who was the one, Brian, who was dipping it in the Clamato?
Of course it was Jury.
Oh, it was Jury. Freaking Jury. Yeah.
Who up there? Who else up there would have done that?
Yeah. By the way, all of this we'll have video of everything that was recorded soon. So if you're dying to know what that looked like or what Tom looked like chugging that down, you'll get that pretty quick here. So.
Yeah, so I wanted to call in real quick to give you all a final total on our weight loss challenge that we had for Nerdtacular 13. So in the Frog Pants group, I just want to put out there, if you want to join the Frog Pants group, you want to go to tinyurl.com/frogpantslose it Okay.
Lose it. So, lose it.
Lose it.
Okay.
Yeah, lose it.
Are there any hyphens or slashes or periods?
No hyphens or no hyphens or slashes.
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is
there
it
an underscore in yeah, there somewhere?
Can I find out if it's case sensitive? Case sensitivity?
Frog pants lose it.
All right.
Yep, frog pants lose it.
All right.
So we have 424 people in that group, but in the challenge, we only had 256 people, and the final total was 3,547.6 pounds.
Wow.
Which is an average of 13.8
per person. 3,000 pounds?
Yeah.
My gosh, dude.
That's insane. That is insane.
Snowbird's probably thanking us for having that less amount of people there or something. I don't even know.
We just got an email. Hey, you guys want to come back and maybe do this right around Labor Day? We've got some space. Come back, please.
Please. Please, you guys bought a lot of drinks. We like it.
So we will be starting up another some folks, and I think we're going to do it again for N14 because it's not all just about losing weight. It's just about changing your lifestyle and making healthier choices, you know?
Yeah.
So
not putting weird things up your butt, not those kind of lifestyle health choices, not those.
But I mean, as we learned this past weekend, that is a good way to taste stuff, apparently.
Yeah, we did, dude. That was our big news story. Forgot about that. Well, JJ, it was so awesome to see you guys. Thanks for the update and and happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, no, that was OMF.
Why do I keep doing that? I keep getting you and OMF mixed up. There are about 12 birthdays.
We'll wish you a happy birthday for OMF.
Yeah.
And then Scott, next year, you know, we need to get a picture together because of the 4 years I've been there, we never had a picture together.
What is going on with that?
I don't know, man. I think because we're like family, I'm just like, I'll see him later.
That's a good point. I actually have a thought or two about that I'll talk about later on the show because it's a weird thing where you end up not spending the time or doing the thing with certain people you thought you were going to do, and you don't know why when it's all over, and this is one of them. So I regret that. But
all right.
JJ, always good to have you, man. Take it easy and keep on keeping on, dude. Keep going to Walmart for those pants.
I am.
That's right. Bye-bye. Smaller and smaller.
Yes, but just keep going. anyway, all right. So can we talk? Look, here's the deal. We could go on for days about Nerdtacular, and I don't want to do that to people. There's some people who are probably going to be like, okay, we get it. I wasn't there. I don't care. Just talk about other stuff. We're not going to hound on it all the time. We're going to bring stuff up. Things are going to be talked about over time as we remember them or as they matter to what we're talking about on the show or whatever. Mm-hmm. But forget about all that for now. That's today's dose.
Yes, and don't worry, we'll touch on it again tomorrow when Tom and Nicole are here because I'm sure they'll want to say something, and Thursday Wendy will want to say something. So we'll touch on it again.
You can count on Chinbeard and Jerry today will probably have some things to say.
Oh, yeah, sure, that's true.
So that is all true, but before we just forget about all that. I want to know about this giant box of awesome you came home to.
Yeah, so just to set this up a little bit, and I know we're running slow here, but my uncle is getting married in about 3 weeks, and a wonderful woman named Barb. She's fantastic, and big congrats out to them because they're a great couple. Anyway,
awesome.
But she's making him kind of clean up, and like me, George is a bit of a collector, right? I mean, you've seen my wall, you've seen photos. I've got 200 or something lead figures of Marvel characters. I've got boxes and boxes of comic books and things like that. Well, in consolidating their two houses, House George and House Barb, they're deciding to live in Barb's house. So we've had to clean out George's old house. It's going to become a rental property for them. But that means getting out all of these collections. And one of the things that he's been holding on to that I had no idea was some old Atari stuff, old Atari 2600 stuff. And you're thinking, all right, well, yeah, he's probably got the VCS, the actual console, and maybe a couple games. No. This is a box. Let me tell you, folks, and those of you on the stream, I'm going to be pulling a couple things out. This is a box that's got the VCS, the video. I can't remember, was it a video computer system? Video. What did the VCS stand for in
VCS?
Yeah, it was like the old Atari. There was the the base unit was called the VCS.
Video computer system.
That's what I'm guessing, yeah. Anyway, so it's got that.
Vaginal copulating sister. What? Ooh.
Oh.
Whoa, I have gone down the wrong path today.
Hi, Mom.
Back it up. Boop. All right.
So
sorry.
Not only is that in there and two joystick controllers, because I think back then consoles came with two joystick controllers, but it's got all these old Atari games still in their original boxes.
Mm.
Like Journey Escape for the 2600 in its original box, Pac-Man in its original box, Vanguard.
Wait, is it the Pac-Man box with them eating the long wafer-looking things instead of dots?
Yes.
The artwork? Oh, exactly. I love that, dude.
Freaking Gorf. Original box of Gorf.
Oh my gosh. I love Gorf.
This is like the worst. CBS Video Games like have the worst box design. Yeah. Flying Gorfs, Deadly Droids, Kamikaze Invaders.
Yeah. Terrible game.
One player game, period. That's all it just says on the top right corner there. One player game.
I wish it just full on said, terrible game. Don't buy. This is awful. Wow.
But, and he also, I mean, the catalogs too are in there. So we've got all the. Every catalog from all these iterations of Atari from when they had 39 games, then when they had 44 games, then when they had 45.
Wow. That's awesome.
So I'm going to have a couple of these things framed, but I'm making a little light box thing to hang on the wall with all this stuff in there because I was inspired by what Corinne has at Utah State, a little display of all these old consoles. And I'm not planning on I'm just having a crap ton of old consoles,
right?
But this one needs
to
be. No,
this is a collection you want to. You don't even want to play it. Like, those games are shite, right? Like, they're just.
Oh, God, yeah. You look at the back of the box on these.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I was just doing the box art stuff for the All-Stars game. Like, had all the photos there. And
which was great, by the way.
But you look. Oh, thanks. Yeah. But you look at the back of the box art on all these, and it's like. Oh yeah, that's what video games used to be like.
There is neither missile nor command on the front of this box.
That's right. Yeah, no one's commanding anything with these pixels.
No.
Yes.
That's all. I'm jelly. Completely jelly of that. When you sent that picture, I was about pooped my pants. So exciting.
And that's only about a third of what I had. I mean, I didn't see Asteroids wasn't in there. Defender wasn't in there.
Yeah. Amazing stuff. So keep us informed how you decide to display all of that.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, we're going to do something we haven't been able to do because we haven't been able to call Daryl. And I've missed that terribly. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I've forgotten how to call him. Hold on. There we go. We're going to call Daryl. We're going to do Stump a Trek Nerd. And it begins a little something like this. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Want to win a Frog Pants Challenge coin? Take a picture of your Obey Henry plushie, you do have one, right?
Mm.
In a clever location or pose and tweet them at FantasyCoinHQ for your chance to win. Many will enter, only one will win. Contest ends July 15th.
Fantastic. Line up, get your stuff. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Listen, you were missed at this event.
Yes.
Came up a lot. Like, it'd be so cool if Daryl was there. Oh, it'd be great if there's a This Week in Trek going on with Mike because Mike was there. And, oh, wouldn't it be cool if both him and Mike were in the audience during that film sack to talk about Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Mm-hmm. And, oh, blah, 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 blah. And so you were horribly missed, but I hear tell that you were in a beautiful, lovely tent in the middle of Idaho. And that sounds way better than this, so I hope that went well.
No. There's nothing worse than pretending to be homeless.
Camping is pretending to be homeless.
There we go. Now can we call you the hobo of the Northwest?
Yeah, now we can. Or the hobo of Idaho, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
Well, Idaho-bo, there you go. So, Daryl, it's awesome to get you back on, though, and get back into the swing of things, because we have missed this, and there was a lot of Trek talk over the weekend, a lot of people there mentioning they love the segment, so now we get to actually do the segment, and that's something I'd prefer to do anyway. So here we go. Daryl,
I wish I could have been there.
We do, too. We'll make this happen next time. Don't you worry. We'll get you there. We're going to make this happen. And when you do... You're going to be part of that big Jesus picture we'll recreate every year. Actually, next year, Brian, and by the way, I got to give Brian a big, big, huge credit on this. It was kind of, he saw us all by that table and went, oh, Last Supper, we got to do this.
No.
Well, I thought was you.
I got to pass credit on. I said, we should do that Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving.
Oh.
A recreation of that. And then Tom Merritt, or The Last Supper. And I'm like, Oh my God, that's it.
Oh, Tom Merritt, nice job.
I will take credit for running around and putting everybody in poses.
Yeah, you went. So you immediately got on the internet, what little we had, and right. You found the best picture you could and ran around. And it was so great because you had like your phone or your iPad or something. And yeah. You're just kind of, all right. So Veronica, you need to lean that way as if you're afraid of Jesus a little bit because you're kind of his girlfriend and no one's talking right. about it. And that's kind of the weird Dan Brown thing. And then over here, and that was insane, but somehow it worked out, and it looks incredible. So if you haven't seen it, I've been putting it on Twitter and it's on Facebook. And
I'm going to make that my desktop picture for a while because I love that.
I think we're going to do some prints and sell them for charity or something.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to get on and replace Brian's head in every pose.
I agree. We should. You know what we should have done? We should have done three versions. We did a relaxed one where we were just hanging out there. Then we did the one posed where everyone looks like a character in that painting. We should have done one more where we all had those fake Ibbot faces in front of us. That would have been epic. Because those were floating around the show the whole... Brian, where do those even come from? Where did we get the fake Ibbot faces?
Those came from the Tadpole. Those came from Before Tank Girl. I thought it was Cleo, and so I made a Cleo face today. And I had that here on the stream over my face for a little while.
Yeah.
But Before Tank Girl apparently arranged all that, and again, we talked about the highlights of the weekend.
Yeah.
That was without a doubt one of my, three favorite things this weekend. And seeing all the photos like Cleo and Viking Lass, and I think Adam Christensen from the Madcast stuck one in the shower window.
Mm-hmm. They were everywhere.
I'll do a little giveaway too. If you tweet me at Coverville with the best photo of that face somewhere, then I'll send you, I have a few Coverville t-shirts left
awesome.
That didn't get sold this weekend. So I will, oh God, the Will Jordan one was the best.
Yeah, that one was really
like
good.
Like Edward Munch's scream. It was fantastic.
I liked everything. I liked all the weird uses, the strange freaking people eating lunch just with all these Ibbot faces that all looked Photoshopped. Like, it's just amazing. Anyway.
Oh crap, and I've been saying Utah State, I'm sorry. University of Utah.
Yeah, University of Utah. I should have corrected you.
You should have.
I live here, and I know what. And my daughter works there. I should know this, and yes. I didn't know it. She makes me jealous, by the way. She's digging through bins of classic video games and sending me photos on her phone.
Oh, she showed me like they've got ColecoVisions, and I'm trying to hook her up with a Vectrex.
Oh my God!
Do you remember the Vectrex?
Dude. Yes, I had a Vectrex.
Did
it
you
was
really?
Awesome. Yes, it was like. I still, to this day, think vector video games, like the Tempest-style stuff, still holds up. Like, it's still a look that is cool.
Yes.
Like, it didn't...
It's like, it's like 2D cell animation. It'll be perennial.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the Vectrex was all vector the whole time.
Love that, Ryan.
Come on. So cool. Vector... All right, so Daryl,
sorry,
back to Star Trek. Vectors and Star Trek, here we go. Here's your hard question. In the Next Generation episode, The First Duty. Sorry, it's a poopy joke. Wesley is involved in a flight accident while doing a maneuver. I almost read manure, just about read manure. Wesley is involved in a flight accident while doing a maneuver with his flight team. Starfleet has flight training around which planet? So this is the one I think where Tom Paris is in there. Remember that whole thing? And they got in trouble and sent to Starfleet jail or whatever. Starfleet has this flight training on which planet? Is it planet Earth? Is it planet Mars? Is it planet Jupiter? Or is it planet Saturn? All of which in our solar system. So it's we've narrowed it down a little bit to those four planets. Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. All right, we were going to eat, but we forgot to get stuff, and it's just too crazy today, so we'll do it tomorrow. So don't stress about that. Instead, Daryl, birthdays. Oh, wait, I'm going to do a thing for your birthdays. I got a little thing for it. Hold on. Here you go. Birthdays.
Okay, we have Linda Park. She was Ensign Hoshi Sato.
All right.
On Enterprise.
Okay.
And she's 35 today.
Good Lord, that's young.
Wow.
Well, I guess Enterprise still have the youngins, right?
Yeah.
Anybody who was on that show for the most part, pretty young, yeah. Well, it's been a long, long road from here to there.
You mean getting from there to here?
Yeah, from getting there to here. Uh-huh. That's my understanding. by the way, I got a little something to play for from Tom. We were talking about Tom before coming up with that idea. Can I just play this real quick? I just saw it, so now I'm in the mood. So here you go.
I'm coming over. I'm getting you're that, but I am so bad at promoting things, but that was amazing.
That was not edited. That was one thought.
Yeah.
Actually, that was about 50 thoughts.
Yeah. We don't want to. It sounded, Tom, right? Sounded pretty good, though. Yeah, one take, Tom.
He's so smart. He cannot talk as quickly as he can think, as quickly as as his brain can come up with stuff.
Yeah. First time I heard it, I thought.
It's very distressing.
So, Daryl, sorry.
You can see in his brain, there's a green screen with all these the text going up it, and they're being crossed out and circled and rerouted.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, ooh, I want to talk about that. Oh, no, that's really cool. Oh, what about this? Oh.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I'll be in... I'll be on TNT today. Tom's out of town, but I'll be hanging out with Sarah and Iaz today. So that'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
Man,
nice.
Talking about today's tech news.
Yes.
Brought to you by Drobo. All right.
The news of today.
Today. Tomorrow. What? All right. Daryl, so what do you think? Where's your head at? What do you want to, what planet do you think this is? Earth, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn.
Well, let's see. Is this, if I was at Nerdtacular, is this the question that would have been asked?
No. He was going to do a special one there if you were coming, and that one's like lost to the world. I don't know where that is now. This is just the normal Tuesday business.
Okay.
It'll be the last question.
Yeah. When did Jack and Kate first make out on the island? That's your lost question.
Oh, I get it.
It took you a little while to figure my joke out.
Yes, it did.
That's because it was real dumb. All right. Sorry, Daryl. Give us what you got. Give us your best shot. Hit us with your best shot. Sorry.
It's not Earth. I'm not going to sing. Anyway.
Good.
It's not Earth.
Okay.
It's not Mars.
Yeah.
Hi, Mashup Man.
Hi, Daryl.
I always liked your stuff on ELR.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Those mashups are hot, man.
Mm-hmm.
Even our own freakish lemon probably bows in great humilitude at your fine work on ELR.
Yeah, Sebastian was pointing out that doing the mashups for ELR took longer for him to produce than it took for you to do ELR because he'd have to listen to the whole show.
Yep.
And, you know, your editing is like, all right, cut this, replace one of Obsidian's swears with a rooster sound,
right,
and then send it on up to the feed. Well, he had to, like, snip out all these little segments. And
yep. It's a beast. Mashups are
a beast.
Yeah.
I did it, too, for a while. It takes forever.
Daryl did them for multiple shows at one point, and I don't know how he even did it. And it's no wonder we get these rare ones from Freakish Lemon. It's a freaking job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is.
So, anyway, yeah.
Then we had a baby and then forget it. There's no time now.
Yeah. Those days are over.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway. Jupiter or Saturn? Why am I pretending like I don't know? It's just, it's Saturn.
I don't know because you like to extend things out a little bit. Let's find out if you're right. Is it Saturn? Oh,
congratulations!
There we go.
You're a winner.
Training area is located near Saturn. An investigation of this incident is conducted, and Wesley tells the truth and reveals they were performing an illegal maneuver called the Covord Starburst. Picard urges Wesley to tell the truth. Mm. Wesley, tell the truth.
I was convinced you could be an outstanding officer, and I never questioned that conviction until now. The first duty of every Starfleet officer is to the truth, whether it's scientific truth or historical truth or personal truth. It is the guiding principle on which Starfleet is based. Now, if you can't find it within yourself to stand up and tell the truth about what happened, you don't deserve to wear that uniform. I'm going to make this simple for you, Mr. Crusher. Either you come forward and tell Admiral Brand what really took place, or I will.
Captain.
Dismissed!
Oh, geez, they only gave Will Wheaton a second. You can only whisper his name and then you're out. Get out!
Wesley, I used to really like you, but now I know you're a lying liar who lies.
Oh, I'm going to make out with your mother this evening.
All right, Daryl, congratulations. Starting the week off.
There are four lies.
There are four lies. That's good. Why didn't any of the rest of us think of that? Because Brian's really good at coming up with stuff like that.
That's right.
There are four lies, everyone. Daryl's not one of them. He's a very truthful individual, and we'll be back tomorrow to do another Stump a Trek Nerd. Daryl, do you have a quote that we can try to mangle? Oh, wait, before that, This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Trek Nerd on Twitter. Okay, go.
Okay. Any possibility of getting us back aboard the skiing... Well, start over. Any possibility of getting us back aboard before the skiing season opens down here?
Oh, my gosh. TV or movie?
That was...
Hold on. I was going to guess it was from the snow planet that...
Hoth.
That Kirk and... I can't remember who Kirk was on with. I'm still going to say Kirk.
Okay. I'm going to say McCoy.
And I'm going to say Sulu.
Damn it! Freaking Sulu. I'm going to call him Tiny, just like they did in that movie.
Can anyone get us up off this planet before skiing season starts?
Oh my. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Xander, who's raising money for the National MS Society to help work towards the treatment and eradication of multiple sclerosis. This fall, he'll be riding his bike 200 miles during the Bike MS event in Columbia, Missouri, in order to raise awareness of this terrible disease. And he would greatly appreciate any donations at tinyurl.com/helpbikems to help the cause. That's Help Bike MS.
Nice. Poop-covered man caught peeping on women from inside restroom toilet.
Wow.
Right back to the awesome big news, all
right? Right. Poop-covered man.
Poop-covered man. What's his power?
You can smell him a mile away. Doesn't need a costume. Excelsior.
Yet he's still able to peep on women. If he can smell him a mile away, right. Then these women have a problem.
Yeah, right. Well... who knows? But let's find out more.
What stinks?
The Keystone Fire Department. By the way, how would you like to be known as the Keystone Fire Department? Man, that's
do you
just...
Get, do you run around with big tall hats?
Just running into each other and just that's making right. a mess of everything.
I imagine that there's a Keystone Police Department, too.
And, yeah. They're the Keystone Cops, Brian.
The Keystone Cops. Yep.
Fire Department were called to the Whitewater Park in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Ooh, that also sounds weird. Anyway, yesterday to help extract a man found peeping on women from inside a public restroom septic tank. How gross do you have to be crouched down in a septic tank and not be in Schindler's List? That's the only place that's acceptable.
That's right.
Because you're hiding from the Nazis. All right. 52-year-old Kenneth Webster Enlow, aren't they always 52? of Tulsa was reportedly caught after a woman and her 7-year-old daughter spotted him peeping up at them from inside the toilet.
So that's wow.
I'm telling you. Oh,
that's desperation.
The ultimate in depravity is what I'm getting at. Dude,
you can find these pictures on the internet. Shut up. You don't need to crawl down.
Oh, I thought you meant of that guy peeping out. That's
No. I'm just telling him. I'm giving him a little bit of a tip. I'm helping a guy out.
Yeah, but it's not like the real thing, Brian.
The internet has pictures of lady junk.
Yeah, but then
what?
But,
what is this?
But the real thing is sitting in a big pile of people's freaking excrement for 6 hours, just waiting for the next person to show up.
Getting turds dropped on your face.
Yeah.
See, nice. I don't know. This is a
nasty. 52-year-old, or I mentioned that. Let's see. He went in there, climbed down in the septic tank, and was looking up at the people utilizing that facility. Nicely put by Tulsa County Sheriff Major Shannon Clark, said in a statement. Firefighters had to hose down Enlow, who was covered in human waste, before transporting him to a local hospital for evaluation. According to the arrest report, Enlow's deputies, told deputies his girlfriend struck his head with a tire iron and then dumped him in the toilet while he was unconscious.
Right.
Yes, right. That's what happened.
However, the evaluation didn't reveal any injuries that would be consistent with his alibi while booking Enlow for peeping Tom charges. Is that an actual charge, peeping Tom? Is that how you do it on the paper?
Yeah. Really? I don't think they call it peeping Tom parties. Well. I think it's peeping Tom charges. I think it's called, what do they call that? There is a... Oh, voyeurism, is that it?
They should call it Pooping Tom charges, but it should be.
Pooping Tom.
Yeah. We'll have him on
Wednesday.
Well,
there's no evidence of him actually defecating, though.
No, Brown that's right.
Says Ping Tom.
Yeah.
Yes.
Deputies learned that the suspect had a felony warrant stemming from a 1998 embezzlement case, as well as two prior convictions for public intoxication. He crawled through 100 miles of poop and came out clean on the other side.
Whenever you're in one of those, like, those porta potties.
Yeah.
and I can't imagine that what I'm going to say is any crasser than the story we just read.
Right.
But as a dude, don't you always just try to pee on the flies? Like when you see them down there?
Well, of course you do.
They're like little targets.
Actually, you know what? You know what? Like, I will tell you the truth.
That's what they're there for.
You are Luke Skywalker in the turret gun of the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm.
Here's the truth how I treat those green porta potty things at like concerts and things.
Yeah, yeah.
Or campsites or whatever. This is the truth. I go in there. I never look down into that hole. I never once look there, ever. Uh-huh. I look everywhere else, and I don't breathe. I breathe as little as possible. Now, some people would say, well, don't breathe through your mouth. That's even worse because you don't have the filtering system that your nose does, right? But I don't. I barely breathe. It's all through my mouth. Or kind of just through the corner of my mouth. Just a little bit of breathing. And I don't look down. I don't look in. I don't look anywhere. I do my thing, and I get out, and I go. I'm in a very weird place when I'm in there. I like avoid everything. There's some. I think those places are horrifying.
Is this why you always poop on the side of the road then?
Yes, that's the only place I feel good about.
Porta potties.
Yeah, far bad.
What's where nature intended, man? They're not supposed to go in a green can. Forget it.
Oh,
all right. Wow, that went weird. Where are we now? Oh, suspected domestic violence incident was really just a guy farting.
Oh, sure.
In related news.
Yeah, it's about, I could see how those two things could get completely confused.
A recent suspected domestic violence incident in Clawson, Michigan turned out to be just a blood-curdling sound of a woman smelling a fart.
Wow. That should have been the headline.
I agree. One of the neighbors had heard something, someone yelling, a female yelling, she was possibly being hit, yelling, stop, no. Clawson Police Chief Harry Anderson told CBS Detroit.
And then he made some cards disappear, right?
Yeah, he was on night court later that night. That's and everything. Right. Yeah, him and Larroquette out on patrol.
He sent Bull after them.
The call, Utah connection, by the way, is from Ogden, I want to say.
Richard Mull is from
Utah Ogden? Somewhere, yeah. I think it's Ogden, I'm pretty sure. Anyway, the caller also told dispatchers, that doesn't matter. That she heard a loud noise occur between the woman's shouts. When the cops knocked, the woman answered the door. She admitted she'd been shouting, but said it was because, quote, her boyfriend had continued to pass gas and she was yelling at him to stop. This according to Anderson. Sometimes, though, a little flatulence can lead to real violence. In May, a Florida woman allegedly stabbed her boyfriend after he farted in her face during an argument. Hey, baby.
How you like them apples?
Yeah. Yes, we talked about that on this very show.
I don't like them apples.
It's
at
weird
all.
When the Huffington Post actually has a callback to a previous article that we've already discussed here on TMS.
Yep. Here's how it went. Here's my impression of this fight. Okay, ready? Here it goes.
Yes.
Here it goes. Ah! Stop doing that! Ah! Like that. All right.
Not in the face.
Not in the face. What's in the face? All right. We're going to take a moment here to talk about our friends at tweakedaudio.com. Speaking about tweaking your girlfriend in the face with a fart. Tweaked Audio brings fantastic audio to your ears no matter what you're listening to, be it our voices or music or whatever. Five great styles to choose from, seven great style or colors rather, and a lifetime warranty. And it was really fun to give away a few of those at Nerdtacular. We gave them away at the Prizeocalypse. So big thanks to them for that. At tweakedaudio.com, you can save 33% now with the code STREAM. Works for all your iPods, iPhones, MP3 players of all types. Go get them now. That's 33% off with the code STREAM at tweakedaudio.com. Go there today.
If communists have attempted to inject their propaganda into the motion picture, they have failed miserably.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
the YouTube Let's Play channel, Stuffity Plays. That's Stuff, E-D-Y, Plays. Beginning with Beneath a Steel Sky, The Unfair Platformer, and Thomas Was Alone, with more to come. With enough support, there will be more shows in the future, including a new film show, not a film set clone. So go to YouTube and search Stuff, E-D-Y, Plays. That's Stuffity Plays.
Stuffity Plays.
Stuffity Plays.
Mos Def undergoes force feeding to call attention to treatment of hunger strikers at Guantanamo Bay. Yazeen Bey, the actor and activist formerly known as Mos Def.
Oh, is he not going to be known as Mos Def anymore?
No, he wants to be this new name. Also, it feels like a bit of a lateral move to me. Like Yazeen Bey and Mos Def. What's the difference?
Well, that's his real name is Yazlin Bey.
Oh, I thought it was a new I thought he made that one up.
Oh, did he?
I don't know. Someone will have to confirm or deny that. I thought that was a made up new one, like a new I'm now known as like a Cat Stevens deal.
Right, Yusuf Islam.
Yeah, like that. Submitted to the type of force feeding imposed on hunger strikers at Guantanamo Bay, and it was not
His
pretty.
Real name is Dante Terrell Smith.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, check this out. The Brooklyn-born entertainer.
I'm Corbin Dallas.
He was
sorry.
Wrong guy. Who was the guy who was in?
Wasn't he in Fifth Element?
No,
one of the henchmen.
No, he was not. That was not Mos Def. You're thinking of somebody else.
Oh, that's tricky. That was tricky.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mos Def was in the film adaptation of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right.
What's his name?
Ford Prefect.
Ford Prefect. Or,
Ford Prefect.
Yeah. Correct. Right. Yeah.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, the Brooklyn-born entertainer joined with the human rights group Reprieve to demonstrate that hunger strikers are what they're enduring in the U.S. military lockup. The demonstration was videotaped and posted online on Monday. In the graphic footage, Bay, dressed in an orange jumpsuit, writhes in his restraints, then retches and coughs as a feeding tube is inserted up his nose and down into his stomach. When the tube comes out and is about to be reinserted, Bay pleads for those administering the feeding tube to stop and partially breaks free from his restraint to show how horrible it is. And it is kind of bad to be force-fed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you do that. Like, if a guy's hunger striking, it's not like you made him do it. Well, I mean, maybe they're doing it because of you, but so why do you have to? Why do you feel like you have to force-feed them?
Yeah, and there will be a point at which they pass out from hunger.
Yeah.
And at that point, then you can start force feeding them, right? I mean, there's no point in waiting until they're – or there's no point doing it early because at some point between the beginning of the hunger strike and death, there will be a pass out period, and that's when you can force feed them.
Yeah.
Give them an IV tube or something.
Yeah, if it were me, that's what you do because you don't need to – you actually don't need to force food down somebody's stomach to keep them alive. You just IV them with all the appropriate nutrients. You can keep them alive for a very long time.
Right.
So I don't know why they're doing that, if they are indeed doing that. I don't know much about the story other than, you know, Mos Def not spending any time acting or rapping. He's pissed.
Performing,
I don't know what this
demonstrating.
Is.
Demonstrating.
Yeah.
Right. Brian, you know all too much about force feeding. I'm going to lock my door.
Yes, we'll talk a little bit about that. I took Sebastian to Casa Bonita last night.
Talk about force feeding.
Oh, you have to be force fed there.
Yeah, how'd that go? Did it live up to your South Park expectations?
Totally worth it.
Very good.
That's kind of awesome. Also in celebrity news, Metallica, you know, Fire Bad, those guys.
What?
They're performing.
What? That's Frankenstein. What are you talking about?
No, you remember the whole, you don't remember the thing that, there was a really viral, before YouTube, there was a viral video running around the internet when Metallica was like raging against MP3s. And Napster and all that.
Oh, Napster thing, yeah.
Yeah, so they were like, Napster bad, Fire bad. And they kind of made what's-his-name look like Frankenstein. It was kind of awesome.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Lars?
Yes. Or who's the singer?
Kirk Hammett?
What? No.
No, James Hetfield.
James Hetfield, that's it.
Yes.
Who's Kirk? Who's the other guy you said?
Kirk Hammett. He's a guitarist.
Oh, I like that guy. Yeah. Well, I like them all. I'm just, you know, just saying. Metallica are going to perform at Comic-Con of all places.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're bringing heavy metal to Hall H.
Oh.
That's pretty good, musicmix.eu.com. The band will promote the upcoming 3D film Metallica Through the Never, with a panel and a live performance at Comic-Con on Friday, July 19th, 6:30 p.m. Hall H panel, which marks the band's debut appearance at the San Diego Pop Culture Fest, will be followed by an intimate concert at a secret location. SeaWorld is my guess. Just kidding. In addition,
I'm sure it is. I'm sure that's exactly where it's going to be.
Can you imagine that? Pennies. Like a raised platform over Shamu's pool.
Hello, SeaWorld.
I would pay money to watch that. In addition to all four Metallica members, James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich, Kirk Hammett. Oh, there you go. There's him.
Oh, yeah.
And Robert Trujillo.
The double L is...
it's hard, is what it is. Though he never, the never star Dan Dehan, oh, sorry, Dane Dehan, director, writer, Nimrod Antal.
Oh, guy's name is that's an unfortunate first name.
Nimrod Antal and producer Charlotte Huggins will also, let's see, answer fan questions on the panel where the film's trailer and poster will make their debut. Is this a, I'm hoping this is a documentary because I would love to see that. Mm-hmm. I don't want just a concert film. Not interested in that. But.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's your celebrity poop. We are going to take a break. When we come back, what do we got going today? We got Chinbeard. We got Mr. Justin Robert Young. It'd be great to have them back after they were on stage this weekend. Kind of get their impressions. Got some emails. Mm-hmm. Got a bunch of other stuff as well. Brian, what do we got some singing or some songing?
Well, this is a request that actually came up last night. So I mentioned a minute ago that we went to Casa Bonita. We had to take Sebastian there, Les, Gebhardt, Julie, and then Jeff. Well, Jeff is a local, so he's been here before. He tried to warn us, and I tried to warn everybody too. But Casa Bonita is one of those places, if you've seen the South Park episode, it is 100% accurate. It is a Mexican restaurant in a strip mall with a big pink facade. And you walk into this place, and it is cavernous and is set up to look like a Mexican village. Actually, I should probably let you describe it.
Oh, you're doing a fine job. Keep on going.
Cliff divers, walking mariachi bands, a wishing well with a guy's face in the bottom looks like John B. talking to you. I mean, this is an actual accurate thing. So if, you know, if people are coming through Denver and they want to go check this out, Tina and I will be happy to join you as long as it's like we're not going to go any more than like once a quarter. So
there you go.
Let us know when you're passing through Denver. We'll let you know if it's time, if we'll take you to Casa Bonita. But while we were sitting there having dinner, Les, I think, was the one who remarked, I hope we're going to have, because of this, I hope you're going to be inspired to play a mariachi. Oh, you did. You suggested it. Sebastian's pointing to himself. And since Les isn't here to dispute it, I'm going to say it's Sebastian.
Fantastic.
Said, I hope you've got some mariachi covers to play on TMS tomorrow. And by golly, yes, I do. From the album Queen, Mariachi Chill Out or Mariachi Chill Out. Mariachi Out. Boy, I don't know how would you pronounce this?
I would say mariachi.
Mariachi Out.
Mariachi Chill Out.
Mariachi
Chill Out.
Mariachi Chill Out. And that's the name of the band is Mariachi Chill Out. And they do mariachi covers of like the Rolling Stones and Queen and all these other bands. Let's listen to Radio Gaga as covered by Mariachi Chill Out.
Oh, it's that Radio Gaga, Radio Goo Goo, that whole thing.
That's the one.
Oh, when I first saw the title, it wasn't clicking, but now I got it. Okay, great. Yes. Let's play it. It's Radio Gaga when we come back. All that crap I said before and more. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Vincent Price.
If I am feeling particularly ambitious...
I already played that one. Here's a new one.
Nothing makes a more exotic party. I generally lower all the lights and burn a little child to help create a mood. And then I have sitar records and put them on the stereo, and that helps tremendously. Candles winking everywhere are very romantic. The visual display of the curry, all the condiments, and the boys is really spectacular.
What are you talking about?
The Morning Stream. You didn't say the magic word.
And we're back. Well, it's nice to see I'm back with all my stupid technical difficulties that I forgot I could
those
do.
Those things took a vacation too, but they're back as well.
Grr. Hello, everybody. Well, not really. Like Saturday, I had a few too. The soundboard was janky. You know what? Little word to the wise, the soundboard from Ambrosia Software, that thing is not good under the latest version of Mountain Lion. There's some issues there. Mm. Yeah, I figured that out too late. I just assumed it would work and never really tested it, but problems. Welcome back to the show, everyone. It is time for us to call Jim Baird, who did amazing work, by the way, with his
costume contest.
Yep. His Iron Man
was
awesome.
Seeing him in person with his Shepherd costume.
It was special.
And Britt with her Chandra costume from Magic the Gathering. I mean, that was fantastic.
I'd call it special. That's what I'd do. Mm-hmm. Bill Durant, are you there?
Sure.
Oh, wait. We usually have a... Don't we have a theme for you? Don't we do something for you? I don't even know anymore.
Wow. Hi, guys.
You're weird.
What?
So, dude, what's going
on? He's singing mariachi.
Oh, I heard it. I love that, by the way. I want to get more of that. I could use a little more mariachi in my life. Jim Baird comes on the show each and every week, talks about fitness, talks about other stuff. He was at Nerdtacular, had a fantastic costume contest. He looked great in his costumes. Great to see you, your wife, your brother.
Yeah.
Your twin brother.
Yeah, that weirded me out for a while there. I seriously had a few moments of like, oh, I don't know which one I'm talking to right now.
You had the rare opportunity of being the meat in a Duran sandwich.
Yes, the Duran sandwich. Oh, wow. There's a photo of this. It exists.
And, was this Duran Duran?
It was Duran Duran.
It was Duran Duran. Yeah. And in the middle was a soft, white, pulpy man. And I quite enjoyed it. It was one of the highlights, another one of the highlights from the entire event. So, Bill, just your impressions. Did you have a good time?
Oh, holy crap. Yes.
Yeah. Are you having a little bit of post-event blues like I am? I'm feeling a little low because it's all gone now.
Doing okay. First of all, I dragged my brother and his wife back to Seattle with me, so we brought a little bit of the party back.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just going through and consuming all of the media from that weekend and just trying to relive it a little bit to soften the edge.
Yeah, that reminds me. I'll have this up later today. At least that's the plan. I'm going to have... Mm-hmm. I basically want everybody, anyone, anywhere that took photos and video to send me big Dropbox links to their photo collections, to any video they took. We're going to create a big freaking giant mashup of all this stuff. And I don't just mean, you know, Flickr groups and things like that, which are all fine, but we're going to make this part of like the big video package. And I want to get everybody's cool pictures of each other and of other stuff and of the event itself. So we can get all these different perspectives and put them together in just an awesome kind of memorial package of the event. So more on that soon at nerdtacular.com.
Yeah.
So
I'm looking forward to, I haven't found one yet, but a photo of everyone on the live TMS panel.
Oh, yeah. I've got one, actually.
Mm. Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole weekend.
Yeah, the live TMS was amazing, and I'll tell you, and I said it at the top of the show, but I'll say it one more time. The reason it was great is because of you and the rest of our daily guests, daily segment guests, just made that thing amazing. You guys really nailed it up there. I mean, Bill came up there and sat down in the chair in his full Shepherd, Commander Shepherd.
He drank Clamato as Commander Shepherd.
Yeah. Like he was Shepherd in his big freaking armor. That was the weirdest visual and just really was awesome. So, and yeah, I know you were super hot and you had those spotlights on. You were probably sweating like a horse in there.
Oh, yeah.
Can't work the iPhone with the gloves on.
Nope.
Yes. Right. It's tricky.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Haptic gloves.
I'll tell you what, though. Just being like looking to my left, looking to my right, and seeing all the incredible people on the panel, thinking like, how did I get up here? Mm. It feels pretty cool. And most of the people on the panel were like jury, which we'll go back to communicating only once a week now.
Yeah.
Saying like, like I'm a, like Bill over here is the guy who knows what he's talking about. The rest of us are talking out our butts, except for Wendy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, how did I get to be the credible one?
Well, it's because you actually, I mean, well, the theory is.
Because you got skills.
And yeah. I'd put Tom and Nicole in there as well, but you guys are the ones that come to the table with, like, actual advice, help, and otherwise direction for people. And Jerry just comes in and just goes, which is great. Well, we like it. We like it when he comes in and farts all over the place. It's not a problem.
One of the great things about Nerdtacular, for me, that is that I had lots and lots of people come up to me with their personal fitness success stories. And it was like huge, like really moving for me to see so many people. And they always deserve all the credit. If you were able to turn your life around and really nail down your own personal fitness story, that's all your credit. But if I was a tiny bit the catalyst of that, I feel pretty good about that.
Just a little piece of the pie there, Bill Ryan. So how do you feel like...
Seeing you guys in person is the catalyst that's going to make me start getting back into my fitness regime or fitness routine.
So, and that's a big...
My God, seeing...
Well, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, just seeing you and Dunaway. Oh, my God. I mean...
Oh, Dunaway.
You guys look fantastic.
Dunaway looks great.
God, you looked great too. I mean, you
slimmed
passed
down.
This off like you're a big doughy man, but you've lost some weight for sure.
Yeah, about 16. Especially after the weekend where I, you know, was running around so much and burning so many calories, not eating all that much, I probably lost another 3.5 pounds. So I'm about 16, 17 pounds lighter than last time Brian saw me physically. Mm-hmm. So I hope it showed a little bit anyway. But the trick is keeping it up, right? Like here's the question for you. When you go to an event like this and you come in with some loss, like some weight loss already, and then you lose even more while you're there, and then when you leave, all the kind of stress goes away of it. You've done it. You've accomplished your goal. And now you're like, man, big cheesy nachos sure sound good right now. Like it's back to the mental game again, isn't it?
Yep, back to creating and maintaining a good routine.
Mm, yeah.
I tell you what, I had a really good chat with our pal Gnomewise. I got to be on his little stream there.
Yeah,
and we were talking about discipline and drive and fitness and doing that sort of thing. And it's pretty interesting how I've seen people, my own personal story included, who have turned their life around in the fitness aspect, and that discipline has positively affected other parts of their lives, like especially for me, I have to be super disciplined because I work for myself now and I have to show up to work every day without anyone telling me to do it. And I think that the fitness part really, really helped me out there.
Yeah, no, I look, the one you and I had a couple of conversations I thought were kind of interesting. And your comment earlier about Why is it I'm up here on the stage with these other people?
Yeah.
I think there's a parallel to that and a commitment to be more fit. And what I mean by that is there's one thing to have talent and the ability to do things or present or perform or do whatever. And that's important. But there's also this other piece, which is a willingness to ask and show that you can do something, talk to the right person, email the right guy. In other words, take steps to execute, not just aim, but actually fire.
Right.
And I feel like that's a lot like fitness goals. Like
I agree.
It's one thing to say, oh, I got a great metabolism and I could probably lose a bunch of weight if I tried. It's a whole other thing to say, well, I'm actually going to get on that treadmill for a half hour a day at least and do whatever. So I found there was a lot of parallels for me between your fitness message here on the show and then just kind of how stuff went down this weekend. The people who rise to the top are the ones that are willing to freaking go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there we go. We've all learned a lesson today, folks.
Yeah. So hey, how about that costume contest? You guys checked that
out?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, I was there.
That was our second time doing that.
Yeah.
And I personally would like to thank everyone who participated because they made it for me. They made it for all of us. There were some really crazy awesome costumes. There were some big groups. And I really hope that we can make this an even bigger thing next year.
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed like there was would you say there was more participation this year or less than last year in terms of costumes?
It was about the same. Mm-hmm. We had, I think, 30, 35 participants-ish this year. A lot, though. I mean, for such a, you know, numbers-wise, a smaller convention, that's a significant chunk of the people there.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that was awesome. And I was, again, deeply moved by the people who were like, hey, let's do the thing Chinbeard wants to do. And like, all right. So that was cool for me. Yeah. Thank you guys, all of you who dressed up.
Yeah, and let's do it again. Let's do it again next time. Make it even bigger. Make it a bigger deal. Those trophies you made or the medals you made were amazing. Those were awesome.
Yeah. Love mine. Love it.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to have to do that every year now, make that the thing. So I can make an N13 or 14 one next year. So they'll be different every year, and there'll be a little trinket that people can get.
Perfect. Nice. Well,
yeah, collect them all.
So this week, our message is just be healthy and knock off all the stupid eating and don't eat donuts and go to great cons where good people are at and make friends and do what Bill Durant tells you because he's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, what's going on with your Kickstarter ended? Everything's going great.
Holy crap. Yeah. It ended last week. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a show, so I didn't get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But it ended like crazy. The last, I think we got like another $3,000 or $4,000 the last day. We hit our first stretch goal. We went like 130% funded, which totally blows me away. I'm still wrapping my brain around it. I have many months of work ahead of me. And I have to make about 130 gun kits. So, woo!
Yeah, this is when the poo hits the fan. Your Kickstarter is over, and you're like, oh yeah, I gotta fulfill all this stuff.
To do that.
Yep.
All those people are expecting me to make them guns.
Been there and done that.
Yeah. Woo! But I'll tell you what too. I met a lot of people at Nerdtacular who were backers. Like a lot of people came up to me like, hey, congrats on the Kickstarter. I backed it. And I was like, I was hugging people. I was high-fiving people. I cried a little bit. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's good. A little tear here and there is never going to hurt.
A little bit here and there.
A grown man like yourself. Punishprops.com. You can go there, watch progress on all of this. Of course, Facebook.com/punishprops. Mm-hmm. Chinbeard on Twitter. All over the damn place. Bill, it's great to be back to the normal thing. We'll see you next week for a whole new episode. Yeah.
Betcha.
Bye now.
See ya.
Bill. Bye, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
See you later, Bill. Make love to your tater. All right, let's see if Justin's around. Now, I talked to him last night. He confirmed that, or we confirmed there was a show. Should find him.
Like that means anything.
It's a good point. If I was him, I'd be sleeping. Yeah, the jury's still out. It's actually, I'm really anxious to ask him a question about his trip home, but before we do...
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
All right. A man who came, needs no introduction. He came, he conquered, he went, and then he came back, and then he went again, which will make sense in a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Duran. Hello, Bill.
Oh, my goodness.
Justin Robert Young. Sorry, dude. You got some fitness? What? Oh, wrong guy again. Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't keep my stuff straight. I apologize.
Oh, good job with that costume client. Oh, shoot.
Yeah, no. Oh, geez. You're the other guy, right?
The other Tuesday guy. Sorry. My head's in 12 places. Dude, what's up? Before we get too far, I really do want to know about that weird-ass, like, just weird Denver back to Salt Lake thing you ended up doing.
The whole travel thing was a nightmare for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so here was the plan, as it was laid out initially. I flew in with Ashley on a United flight, and then leaving, what we were going to do was, this bird is just flying around. He's in this, like, flying around the room phase, which is really ridiculous, especially since times out of 10, he just hammers
totally
his head
me up
through
that
a window.
That you're a bird owner. I mean, I just, you know.
There is something odd about that.
Hanging out the whole weekend. Yeah, it's like drinking with jury. He's got a beer. He's doing. He's, and by the way, you know, I've mentioned the Scott Fletcher thing, but I've got to give props to you because in no way do I want Scott Fletcher's thing to overshadow yours during the Andrew Allen thing. But you came out and did a boodle deedle doo rendition of the Pokemon theme that, again, had me laughing so hard, tears were streaming out of my eyes.
Oh, it's amazing. Utterly amazing.
Yeah, that was, I mean, Andrew's great, and me and Andrew are perpetually in discussion of a project that may or may not ever happen, and that's never the same project.
Of course,
we had an idea for a Christmas thing that I think could be really, really funny, so
yeah.
Hopefully we keep going with that.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. So, all right, here was the plan. Me and Ashley fly in together, and then because of... she had extra money left over from when she used to fly a lot on Southwest at her old job. She was going to use that money to fly back, and I was going to use, through a friend of mine who works at Frontier, I was going to fly standby back. Now, all of this is completely rendered useless when a South Korean airliner just cracks in half like an egg on the side of the SFO runway.
Yeah.
And everything is shut down for a day, which means that basically all of the holiday air travel is completely rendered moot. So the idea was to try and fly, because the only place that Frontier flies to San Francisco from is Denver. That's like their main hub. So I fly from Salt Lake City to Denver, realize very quickly that like, I'm not going to get out of there. I was on the list of where I was, and in terms of the status that I have for that standby ticket, I was like about as high as you can get for non-revenue customers. The problem was there was a lot of people who had got bumped off flights. So I was like number 27 and 25, down the list of all these standby things. So then the plan becomes, because I had work to do yesterday morning, Monday morning. I had Go Game stuff. So the plan is like, all right, well, then just get me anywhere. Get me anywhere. All right, so I'm talking to United because I have
anywhere. I love that it's just anywhere. Anywhere in these United States, damn it.
Yeah. I'm like, west. Get me west from here, and I'll rent a car and drive the rest. Right. And they're like, well... so it turns out everything in California we can't do. And I'm like, what do you mean like everything? It's like, well, literally everything. Because every airport is dealing with overflow and their own problems from having to absorb everything from the San Francisco disaster. So I couldn't get anywhere in California. They said the closest I could get on the West Coast was Seattle, which would have been another 13-hour drive, all which right. was what I was facing from all the other places that I was thinking. So then it turns out, all right, well, I'll just go back to Salt Lake City, pick up Ashley, because the other idea was to go to Boise and drive back.
Ugh.
Because I would have had a shot at getting on a 9 o'clock flight to San Francisco. But the problem is, like, at that point, I'm really rolling the dice that I'm going to get on that flight or that flight's going to not get canceled. Or else I'm spending the night in Boise, or I'm starting a 13-hour drive at 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
So then here's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me at an airport happens. Uh-oh. I buy a flight to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And I go to the terminal. I'm sitting down. I'm taking care of a bunch of other stuff because I got to prepare other people in case I don't get back. So I'm doing like all this work that I would normally do the next day. And it's getting closer and closer to departure time, but everything's late, now because it's just such a circus. So I don't pay any mind to it. I stand up and I look at the board, and the board says that the flight took off 10 minutes ago. And at that point, I'm like, I'm having like a Nicolas Cage style breakdown.
You're not gonna. Do you know who I am?
Oh man! Am I crazy? What is going on? It's just this mixture of rage and defeat. Ugh. Like I have no idea what's happening. Yeah. So I go to the United counter and I'm like, "What happened with that flight?" And they're like, it left B-44. And I'm like, no, like, is this the Truman Show? Like, what is happening? Like, I know I was there. So anyway, but it doesn't matter now because they're like, oh, well, it took off from that thing. And I know that didn't happen. I still have no idea what the issue was. But eventually I get on the next standby flight, go to Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
And begin a 13-hour overnight drive that got us back to Oakland at about 4:30 in the morning.
Ugh, so wait, how did Ashley get to you? Because she was still up at Snowbird shacking up with some people.
This really is like the final coda on what was the amazing elements of this weekend, yeah. Which was just insane community and Tadpool and, you know, all the Diamond Club people that showed up and all these people that, you know, we joke around with on Twitter and are in the chat room right now. Like, it was just an amazing scene. And part of that was at the end when, you know, Ashley went back and forth to the airport twice because she thought she was going to meet me there the first time when my mystery flight took off from somewhere in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went back to Snowbird only to come right back to the airport. And, I wish that I remembered the guy's name that did it because it was, I mean, he is a...
That will be Blake Edlund.
Blake Edlund, was it?
Blake Edlund, yes. He is a human god.
that sounds contradictory, but I like it.
Right, yeah, no. He's a reverend friend zone. That's what he is.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah.
Well, he totally rules and really, really, really helped everybody out. And, you know, and everybody was super awesome. And, like, you know, Ashley, to be honest, there was a part of Ashley that kind of was sort of pissed that we had to do a 13-hour drive back home.
Right.
You know, because he was like, well, you know, listen, I mean, I can work from Snowbird. I can work from Utah. You know, I can find a place to stay. There's people hanging out over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you to everybody for helping out, and it was just, you know, it was crazy. But got back here, got work done, had to do. This is my day yesterday. Drove to Oakland.
Yeah.
4:45. Went to sleep. Woke up at 7.
Ugh.
Drove to SFO to return the rental car and pick up my own car, which was an offsite parking. Drive down to San Jose for the eBay PayPal campus. Did a game there, went back to Go Game headquarters, dropped off that stuff, then drove up to Petaluma and did an NSFW show, and then finally came back from Petaluma to here around 9 or so and went to sleep around 10:30.
You're an animal, and now you're up again talking to us on this dumb morning show. Like, this is insane. This is insane.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it probably is. It's probably insane that I'm just boring everybody with my travel.
No.
And then at 8 o'clock, I left again.
It makes us feel better about our own travel, you know, because I think you, out of any story that I heard, I mean, Andreas Ekberg also had some major issues, but I think he kind
at
of
the airport.
Yes. Like, oh, you saw him there? Yeah, he was stuck there for a long, long time.
He was, but I think it was because he actually booked his flight as standby. I don't think it was repercussions from the crash in L.A.
I think he did the standby thing, but he had a harder time fulfilling standby because of all the rerouting that was going on.
Right.
Just a bad time to be on standby.
Because that was I was standby to go back to San Francisco. So I mean, like, anybody who tried standby, I mean, you were immediately screwed upon that plane hitting.
Yeah,
you
know? Like,
you were just totally done.
And there were people with real flights, like regular flights, non-standby flights. Like Veronica barely got on a flight and got back where she needed to go. And, you know, they made all the preparations necessary to make sure it was okay. But even then, it was like nip and tuck. She almost had to stay at another hotel that night. Like, this is the things I hate, because it's stuff nobody can control. And it besmirches otherwise this, like, amazing, fantastic, incredible night. Or a couple of nights at the, you know, at the event, and everybody's so cool and everything. But one thing I always thought the whole time was, if something goes real bad, and it didn't matter what it was, if these rock slides were worse than they were, or if the flight thing got worse than it was, people would have taken care of each other, and that was never a question in my head. It was not like
that's what happened with Ashley. Yeah. You know, and that's why it was just another element of, like, how amazing the weekend was and how, you know, touching it. You know, it really was. I mean, and on a completely unfunny level. Like, you know, we stopped kind of the show last night, but it really, like, there's just so much about this conference that wasn't about just seeing friends. And it wasn't just about, like, hey, let's, you know, either for the producers doing the podcast, which we love, or for people to listening to the podcast that they love and interacting with the people that do them. Like, it was something more. And it's one of those things where, Scott, you talk so much about, you know, family and you know, that was like the tagline, like, it's a family but with nerds. And, like, you know, you say it enough and you're earnest about it and you're earnest about what that means and you know what that means. And it's a thing, you know?
Yeah. It becomes the thing we think it is. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's a really, and this year more than any other year in the past, it's always had that vibe. It's always been that thing. But I don't know what was going on this year, just the right mix of everything, but I was just blown away this year. I still don't feel like it happened or that it was real. It was very odd. I feel like I've been all sappy all weekend about this, but it really feels that way for me. Like, just an odd, weird, amazing, kind of heartfelt thing. And you and Schwood and other newcomers this year just fit freaking right in, man. Just part of the family. Just walk in, there you are.
They almost fit right in. You know, a lot of you people have experience with the rules of Frog Pants All-Stars and have seen the game and know the mores, the social guidelines that maybe we have with that game.
But what fun would that game be without a little controversy, without a little mistake here and there? It's always good.
It was fantastic.
Nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get up there, maybe be silly for an hour, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, it was one of those things where, like, when I got up there, I'm like, oh, okay, well, like, we'll play a little like wrestling heel and, like, you know, bark at the other people and, you know, it'll be a fun game. And then, like, by the end of it, like, when it was tied with three crescents to go, yeah, right? In the first one.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if you would have put a piece of coal up my butt, you would have had a diamond by the end of that quiz show, man.
They truly in the diamond club after that.
That was exactly. That was the lemon booty situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I it was so awesome. And the humbling bit for me is everybody kind of, you know, they sacrifice time. And then, of course, these delays and costs of travel and all this pain in the butt crap that comes with trying to come somewhere. And you were one of the bigger stories of oops, this travel thing is a huge mess. So from me to you and everybody
worked out. Although my favorite part about it was watching Tom and Eileen get to Bora Bora and Terpster get to the United Kingdom before I got back home.
That's true, dude.
Very exciting.
That's true. It's like they found wormholes in the universe that you could never quite get to.
Well, I woke up like 10 minutes because I drove the majority of the overnight stuff. Ashley drove everything as it got dark. I drove the majority of the overnight stuff, and then Ashley woke up and did the last hour.
Yeah.
But I was waking up as we were pulling into our neighborhood, and I just saw Terpsters like, made it back to the UK. And I was like, that's awesome. That's hilarious that I have not walked in my door. And he is already in another country. That's awesome.
Yeah, his went off without a hitch. Although I hear they had to stop in Denver, Brian, or I think it was Denver, and he had to run to catch his connecting. Yeah, like was, just haul cheeks through that.
And airport. Denver's not an airport that you can, as you know, you've experienced.
It's got tram.
You can get through quickly.
Yeah. Well, the problem is you got that big U-shaped thing, the big penis-shaped thing, so you got to go. Run just as fast as you can to the tram. Then you get on the tram, takes you the other bit, and then you got to run all the way across there.
Yeah, because it's just one hall.
Yeah.
It's just one big elongated hall as opposed to like little nooks or coves or anything where you can kind of sneak in places. Yeah, no, it's... I feel like it's almost a disservice to the event that all we're doing is discussing travel. But like... I'll tell you what. There, the moments that obviously were kind of the most sort of personal to me was the thing we did after George Robb. We did a comedy album that like was literally just me and Brian improvising with characters that we've done on the show, and it was crazy. It was insane how well it went and how many people showed up and we had you know, Fletcher do our introduction, and it was just like, it was just one of those perfect moments. And I really, you know, I want to thank you, Scott and Brian, and everybody else, who put it on, because it really was, it was something where I had high expectations for it. And by the end of it, they had completely been exceeded.
Yeah. It was, which I think great. Is no small task, because Justin has his expectations of things. They're pretty high, man.
Yes.
He goes into stuff and says, that better be a damn good burger when you bring it to my table, waitress lady. So exceeding those expectations, no small task. That makes me really happy. I even like the weird little cigar thing we did out in the
smoke monster.
Which, by the way, the funny thing about that is, like, literally, we have, you know, Mitzula, who's been a longtime fan of the NSFW stuff and everything, and he... Like, I was out in Vegas for a Go game a couple months ago, and he's like, oh, like, I didn't know that he smoked cigars. I enjoy cigars. So he's like, oh, we should do, like, a little cigar thing. And I literally, because for the reason that, you know, Scott kept joking, like, that cigars smell like you know, a camel's anus. like, a lot of people just don't like the smell. They don't like to be around them. And it's you know, oftentimes the quickest way to kill out a, you know, to clear a room or a patio. And, like, I expected it to be like five people, and so many people showed up, and it turned into this like really like impromptu little panel show with Scott and Kim, and me and Brian did the Captain Morgan bit a little bit before we did it on stage.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I still have a shirt that's standing on its own in a room somewhere that still smells like that experience.
Yes.
It's just hanging out in my room upstairs. But no, that was cool, and it was fun to I don't know, that was really weird and not captured for posterity. Like, nobody knows how that went, what we talked about, or what went down.
But I think there's already stuff on YouTube.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah, I know at least the Captain Morgan stuff is on YouTube. And I think we might take that audio and make it part of the album too, because we did some Captain Morgan stuff on stage. So we might make it part of that. But
yeah, that's cool.
We'll see. But that was, I mean, I'll tell you, talking to you and Kim was great, you know.
Yeah. She really is. I kept saying it, and I pounded into the ground, but she's the backbone of the whole damn thing. Like, she really is. She's the support system. She's the, I literally, and I don't kid when I say this, I literally don't think there's Nerdtacular or any of this stuff without her backing me up. There just isn't. And so, you probably got that impression. That smoke thing was a good way for her to show that side of her, because she doesn't like to get out in front of it. But it's she's crucial to everything, and it was fun to stand and talk with her and about, you know, how we roll and what we do, and that was pretty awesome. So thanks for that. That was really cool. I thought,
So are you thinking about Snowbird next year, or what was your?
We're having a big. Postmortem on Thursday with Dave and Corinne and everybody involved in the planning stuff, and we are going to make determinations on all sorts. I mean, the general consensus was this: Snowbird was awesome and a perfect venue for this sort of thing. The only complaints I've gotten at all, and I wouldn't even really call them complaints, but they're, you know, if there's anything anyone's ever said negative, was outside of natural stuff we couldn't control. Were things like, well, it's hard to eat cheap there. You know, you can't, every meal is going to cost a little bit more. There were some cheaper options. Some people didn't know where to look for them. And so maybe educating people better about where, you know, to get these less expensive, like burger and sandwich kind of options, we could have done a better job at. People who ate just in the hotel, of course, paid hotel prices.
So mountain hotel prices.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like you're going to walk outside and go to Wendy's.
Right.
You know?
Right. So there's a bit of that. Some people, you know, had kitchens in their rooms and brought food and ate cheap the whole weekend. So there's a lot of things like that. I want to figure out better solutions for, just to make it, financially easier for people who are on a tighter budget or whatever while they're up there.
But if that's what you're worried about, then the venue is what the venue needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you're not worrying about a cooler.
Yeah. I'm bringing a cooler with sandwich stuff and stuff like that. And that'll offset a lot of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's really the only complaint. Like, those guys went head and heels over themselves trying to help everybody. They were extremely nice on every level. When things did go bad, they were just crazy good about trying to help us. They did everything we asked and then beyond. Like, I have zero complaints about any of it. The location was beautiful. We are seriously, I'll say it this way, we are seriously considering staying there. So we'll see how it goes. But
how much bigger can it get though?
Well, it's still, remember that question out there in the cigar hut?
Yeah.
Like, what do I want to do? I don't know. I feel more strongly than ever that, because this year was more than ever. This is more people than we've ever had by about 150 or something. And more than ever, I was reminded how hard it is. The more you add, the harder it gets to spend actual personal time with everyone and meet everyone, shake everyone's hand, give everyone's kid a drawing, sign everyone's thing, whatever. And I love that part of it so much that I am real slow to say, let's just blow it out and go, you know, thousands.
Yeah.
But even if you grow it by that incremental number, you know, you go from 650 to 800 or 900, you know, like that's another step up in size of venue. That's another, I mean, cause that was like, we pretty much packed that room.
For
the quiz show and some of the concerts and everything.
Here's what we'd probably have to do. And this is, I don't know how fun this is for listeners, but I'm going to say it anyway. We would probably, if we stayed in the same venue and did that incremental growth that you're talking about, we would probably, we'd probably close circuit video into rooms we didn't even rent. And we would, so for big main stage stuff, there'd still be a way for people to pack that house as well as be in different rooms and catch it in meaningful ways with good, you know, good fidelity and all of that. But then we would break the days up way more into tracks. You know, we'd have a lot of simultaneous stuff going on so people could spread out, which is kind of how things worked out this time. Like when we had breakout sessions, you would have a bunch of people playing board games, packed house for FSL with you and Tom. Right.
But there was a business of podcasting thing that apparently was also standing room only that went really well.
Yeah, that went awesome.
And Nicole.
Yeah, it was like our impromptu thing. So yeah, all this stuff's on the table. We'll figure out what we're going to do. But the most important thing to me is, again, that vibe and retaining it. So whatever that means, if that means growing.
But you want to know what? Mm. Like, as you get bigger, like, there is, you do lose what you were saying, that it's harder now. All of a sudden, drawing a doodle for everybody's kid is a, you know, maybe started out as like a 30-minute commitment, and then like at this Nerdtacular was a 2-hour massive line.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it was.
you know, but the bigger you get, the more, you know, you are, there is a different vibe to it. Like, you are trading it for something that is also really, really meaningful when everybody looks around and says, you know, this is just not a small thing. There are a lot of other people like me, and there are a lot of other people that I love. And you know, for what oftentimes, you know, podcast creation and listening can be a very isolating feeling, you know, and to go somewhere where you are awash in a sea of familiarity and love and respect, like, that can be a very, very powerful idea. And that's what I think, you know, you guys did a great job of this Nerdtacular, because, you know, again, it was bigger than you've done before. But, you know, going forward, there is just more of that. And the question then is, you know, how is, you know, how does it scale at all? I mean, is 650 the magic number? You know, but then on the other side, like we were joking around, it's like the banging at the gates at a 650 number only gets louder, you know, thunderingly louder and angrier.
Yeah.
As you know, I mean, I don't know if you want to mention, you know, the number of people that could have come, like that were interested, you know, that you had inquiries for, you know, in this event. But it's like when that number goes double or triple what it was this time, like then people really just get some butthurt feelings that they weren't able to show up.
Sure. Yeah. Then it becomes a mad dash for tickets. And yeah, these are all, yeah,
these are all things that come up in the,
these are all written on the wall. All this stuff is stuff we took notes on and thought about. And I've been thinking about for years, honestly. Like, this is the reason we're at this one this year, was for the same thing you're talking about. And it's been incremental and organic. You know, we've kind of let it go as it goes, but I don't know. I don't know what the future holds. I just hope if we can keep that vibe and grow it, you know, whatever we do, the vibe's really important to me. And that, as long as we retain that, then the
vibe was, it was amazing. It was really, really, really something that, like, you know, and it was even more prescient because me and Brian have over the last, I mean, probably like year, but the last couple months more specifically talked about doing like a little one day thing for like the Diamond Club out here in San Francisco. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things where, like, to look at you and what you're doing and what Nerdtacular was and just the vibe of everything, it was just like, man, like, this is a pursuit worth pursuing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you guys did something like that, it would be awesome. It'd be amazing because you'd get all sorts of support for it. But it's just an amazing way to find out what the metal of your community is. And it's just this great litmus test of what is it I'm creating and what is the result of it? Like, how can I gauge it? And holy crap. Like, if I can gauge it from what I experienced over the weekend, then I've done what I meant to do. Like, it's proof positive that it's positive direction. You said, you keep bringing up this quote Tom Merritt said, you get the chat room you deserve. And that really resonated with me, especially when you mentioned it again to me over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? He's right. He absolutely right. If you build the thing you want to build, and the people that it attracts are the ones you want. Like, that's who you're going to get. So it's like,
or when they misbehave or exhibit in ways that you think are weird, you know, it's way more like, you know, thinking that this is stuff that happens, this is your own behavior that maybe you are exhibiting that you need to correct.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Exactly. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when somebody does decide to troll out in the middle of it, it's a much more obvious thing. It's like a red spot on a white sheet. You're like, oh, well, yeah. Get out of here. I can see you. I know what you're doing. You don't belong in this. It's a much easier to discriminate that way, I suppose.
That story you told with Nick during the live TMS.
The gas station?
Yeah.
I wanted Nick to just kind of just be like, you know, like, I am Nick, son of Scott of House Johnson. How dare right. you talk to me in such a manner?
Yeah.
I'm not tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not even, it's just so not in him. And he did the thing that I would have done, which is just kind of go, oh, okay. All right, I guess this guy's.
Yeah, exactly.
I still haven't heard anything from that guy. I don't know if we're going to hear anything from that guy, but now that the episode's up and it's out there, I have to think this person will hear it. And when the video goes up, even more so. But I really do. I want to just talk to that guy and let him know it's not that big a deal. No hard feelings. It's fine.
Totally.
But on the other hand, too, I want to know who this mythical creature is that was so uppity about Nerdtacular.
You want to know what the funny thing is? Is like, from that guy's perspective, if he reacts in such a you know, such a mean kind of manner, like it's the idea of that he has been made fun of that T-shirt before,
right?
You know,
right? Probably, yeah. Could have been
like people like, oh, Nerdtacular, hey nerd, like, you know. And so what he thinks is, you know, some fresh faced kid, you know, poking fun at his shirt or whatever. You know, and it's something that obviously is hilariously wrong for who he, you know, for what happened. But I kind of felt for him because I don't think that that happens unless this, you know, he's been made fun of it before. Mm-hmm. And this was a pattern of behavior that his life has given him and he lashed out at it. But of course, it was to Nick, who was earnestly complimenting his shirt. So obviously, maybe he has a bit of a perspective problem.
Yeah, it sounds like to me. But anyway, I hope that guy, if that guy's listening, you should send me an email. I'm just curious. I'm not mad. Everything's fine. It's all good. Just want to talk to you.
You're cool. Yeah.
Justin, always a pleasure to hang out. I understand NSFW was early this week, so it's out now.
I don't know if it's out now. We recorded it last night, so it'll probably be out today or tomorrow. Gotcha. It's very bad. It was me like being very tired, and it's not really funny at all. But if anyone wants to listen to it anyway, then, you know, whatever. I'm not here to tell you can't screw up your life.
Right.
and then other than that, the big news, Night Attack, live from Utah, as recorded at Nerdtacular, we're editing it now. The guys who did the sound design were great, but the mix they had was a little low.
Yeah.
Which Have you guys found that on some of the stuff?
Yeah, the stuff we got was a little bit low. I was able to equalize it and get it all pumped up, so I've been okay. But yeah, you're right. On the whole, the raw stuff anyway is pretty low.
Yeah, and it's mixed extraordinarily well.
Right.
So it's like it's not like you can't blow it up. But we're editing it right now. We're gonna nip and tuck a few things and just make sure that the audio quality is you know good enough that we can sell, and we might throw some bonus stuff on there. But it'll be like a 70-minute. Mostly live comedy album, and I'm thrilled because I didn't know that I was ever going to be able to say that, and Nerdtacular kind of gave us the perfect venue to do it.
Yeah, well, perfect. I can't wait to hear it. Watch him on Twitter. You can find that Justin R. Young on Twitter. Justin, it's awesome to talk to you, and it was really great having you and Ash over the weekend. That was fantastic.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I just want to reserve my flights. I'm going to buy flights for next year.
Yeah, you better buy them.
I don't care if Godzilla pops out in the San Francisco just, Bay. I'm going to get back there.
All right,
book,
dude.
Book like a month-wide swath, and, you know, because who knows what date it's going to be, so that way you're safe.
Yeah, just carve out like all of June and July, and somehow we'll fit somewhere in there.
I'm just going to book $40,000 in plane fares.
Perfect.
And then I'll have credit to spread throughout the rest of my life.
Brilliant. Best points you've ever spent. All right, dude. Take it easy. Have fun. And we'll talk to you later, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, see ya. All right. He still sounds really tired to me.
Doesn't he? How could he not be?
I don't know. He's an animal. You know what it is, dude. He just needs to turn 40 like the rest of us. And then he just can't do that stuff anymore. Just can't do it anymore. Right. Like, think about it. It's like when he just turned 30. Okay.
Or, did he really?
Yeah, like 6 months ago or something.
We were trying to pin him down to an age.
It's hard because he's got gray hair already, right?
Yes, exactly.
And I would argue that that's why he's got it. It's because the rate of speed at which he does everything is shocking. Like, I don't know how he manages it. So when he's 42, 43, he'll look like 65. And so will that guy from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and we know what.
And we'll laugh.
We won't know the difference between them.
Charlie Day.
Got a couple of emails we're going to rip through before we get out of here because we haven't had a chance to do this week. And these emails, they're brought to you by.
There are two facts. Frog Pants Community is the best, and living with cancer is expensive. If you want to help the mother battling stage 4 breast cancer, she is raising a Lego and Star Wars loving 6-year-old. Please visit tinyurl.com/givejen, GIVEJEN, to watch a video and learn more. That's tinyurl.com/givejen.
Go check that out, you guys. Help each other out. That sounds like not a fun thing. And raising a child and having stage 4 breast cancer, that's bad. Neil Patel wrote in. Said that the world's largest building opens in China, complete with artificial sun. Who cares if it's the world's biggest building? It's got a sun inside of it.
Artificial sun.
It does.
And we're not talking like Las Vegas thing, right? Like where it's the fake sun that goes across the top of the, what is that, the Caesar's Palace Forum shops?
Yeah, not like that. Although, I love those because if you could get behind there, that'd be like the cheesiest crap ever built.
Oh, it would look like, right, it's like a thing on a pulley with a dude going.
Yep. I just got to come back here and check it. So large it could fit the Sydney Opera House 20 times over inside of its own walls. The New Century Global Center, which opened on June 28th in southwestern China, Shuan Province, I believe is how you'd say that, is approximately 1,040 feet long, 1,312 feet. Oh, thanks, honey. She brought me some fruit.
Of course she did.
Feet long. They have two longs in here. They screwed that up, this article. And 328 feet high? That can't be right. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, so no. You think you copied it wrong because the article, 16... Or they probably fixed it between the time you copied and pasted.
Oh.
1640 feet long, 1312 feet wide, and 328 feet high.
Yeah, they fixed their own typos. That comes out to be 2.1 million square feet of floor space. Anyway, bottom line is they have a giant sun in there. So,
an artificial sun that provides light and heat throughout the day.
Yep. Crazy.
Whoa, while an LED screen 164 yards in length provides an artificial horizon. Why is that photo not in here? We've just got a photo of the building, which is beautiful.
Well, the Chinese are they're awful protective of thereof.
It's sound like the new Dubai, you know?
Yeah.
Like how everybody builds these outrageous structures in Dubai now.
Yep. Both those places are going to take over the world, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
We're screwed. America's screwed. Hello, Sky Will and Bird
Kingdom. I can't wait to see the inevitable photo of a 404 blue screen of death on the artificial horizon. You know it's coming.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. If they run into that on Windows, we got a bigger problem. Hello, Sky Will and Bird Kingdom, both attractions in the tourist area of Niagara Falls, where I work, this guy says. This is Christine. It's not a guy. It's Christine. Scott is always saying he loves hearing how the show has helped people, so I thought I'd share my story of today. 6 years ago today, I passed the test to get my driver's license. Similar to Scott and his daughter, I've always hated driving. I don't hate driving, but my daughter does. I just was slow when I was younger to get my license. Anyway, and was terrified to practice and to take the test. I passed, but I didn't drive alone at all until this week, since I became legal and able to do so. Today... Days and years don't look anything like each other. I also called Justin Robert Young Bildoran, so what are you going to do?
I know.
Today, due to issues with my normal mode of transportation to work, I had to borrow my boyfriend's car, drive him to work, and take myself to work. Alone in a busy tourist area on a sunny day, weekend day. I was terrified, but I put an episode of The Morning Stream on, and I just went for it and did it without incident, and even found that I enjoy driving much more... Or alone, much more than I enjoy driving with someone else in the car. This is totally me as well. Thanks for helping me or helping to calm my nerves. Love the show, though, and wish I could listen at work instead of the obnoxious looping advertisement for the attraction across the street, Christine.
Ride the giant sky wheel here at Niagara Falls.
And then hear that 50,000 times a day. Sebastian. How often do you drive where you come from? Like, I know in Europe it's a lot more bikes and crap like that. Daily? Okay. Like, what's your commute like? How far do you go?
To your great coffee.
Right now it is about 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a normal, dude then. Mm-hmm. All right. I just thought everybody was all...
pretty well normal-ish.
I thought it was all Vespas and rickshaws down there out there.
I could take a bicycle, but I'm like lazy and stuff.
Okay. All right. And how big is your car? Because you're a big, tall dude.
I have a Renault Laguna, so it's a hatchback, four-door, so
everything's tight. It's pretty big for Europe, for lots of parts of Europe and Scandinavia, but I was talking to Terpster, and everybody's car in Bristol, where he lives, is like smaller than my little silver one, Brian, like my little Ford Fiesta thing.
Really?
Yeah, just tiniest cars. Nobody has big cars over there. They all look like little wieners driving around.
Awesome. Perfect.
John says, "Hi, Scott. I laugh every time you mention The Prestige featuring Wolverine, Batman, and Black Widow and Alfred in it. I think it would be cool if you did some drawings of movie posters where the actors are portrayed as iconic characters from other movies they were in, i.e. Superman with two Robin Hoods, Les Miserables with Wolverine, Catwoman, and Robin Hood, or even do the opposite like the movie X-Men, but show Patrick Stewart as Picard, McKellen as Gandalf, Halle Berry as Catwoman, etc. Just an idea, John."
Wow. You know, okay, this is hilarious because this was almost going to be a segment of Frog Pants All-Stars. I actually was working with Ironic Name. We did the first one, which was Prestige with Wolverine, Batman, Black Widow, and Alfred. Right. And it was going to be a video round where you watch a little short animation featuring those characters doing something from the movie, and you have to guess what the movie is.
Oh, wow. That would have been great.
Ironic Name, it was taking such a long time for Ironic Name. I mean, it's a lot of work.
Well, you can't blame him, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate what he was able to put together. But to do 12 of those would have been – it's a year-long project. But it's funny that he brings this up because this is exactly – this would have been around in All-Stars.
Can I just say your crafting of All-Stars this year, expert business. Like,
really? Oh, thanks.
Brian should run – let's put it this way. You should run you do a lot of pub quizzing and all this stuff. We're well aware of how much you're into this stuff. So you've got a brain for it and you got a touch for it, but you could do this like as a thing at a big theme restaurant in Vegas, and you would run the quiz thing and you would just, it would be amazing. It's so audio and visually intensive and just smart and interesting and challenging. And like Justin said, just intense, like, it's competitive as hell. It was really, really good.
It is an absolute dream job of mine, in addition to doing TMS and Coverville and FilmSack and all that stuff, to do even if it's a monthly thing, a Frog Pants All-Stars or an All-Stars Trivia Challenge podcast or video cast.
Right.
I would love to put something, and there's so much involved with doing that, but I would honestly love to do something like that. And I've tried to figure out ways to make it happen, but there's just so much involved with it that I don't have the current time to do it.
Right.
But
it's amazing. It's really, really good. You guys will see
it. Thank you so much.
Y'all see the video and you'll just be like, holy crap, that guy knows how to.
I can't believe I gave away my Captain Kirk Mego doll, though.
I know, dude.
I can't believe Tina let you get away with all the eBay purchases.
Oh, yeah. And there's still a few here that didn't make it in there. I've got a Star Wars movie poster signed by Warwick Davis, but I could not find anywhere anything that would agree upon what the actual value of that would be. So I'm just holding on to that. I'm going to hang it up on my wall.
Send an email to Willow himself. Apparently he's pretty approachable.
How much is this worth?
He'll say, don't call me short, and run away. All right. Exactly. Hey, let's be done with the show today. Before we do, though, we're going to tallywhack it with our good friend Cleo.
Yay!
She was there all weekend as well. Very generous human being. Wonderful guest and fantastic to listen to and talk to. Although she got carted at some bar and had to run back.
Are you kidding? Yeah. But she loved that.
Yeah, probably did, right? So let's talk about that. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
Cleo, tell me, you got carded and they made you go get another form of ID or something happened? What was the deal with that?
Yeah. Well, we went up to the Aerie to have drinks and they scan all IDs when you walk in. And I just looked at him and I went, yeah, no, really. And she went, no, really. And I said, I like you, but I'm going to knock your damn head off if I have to go back to that other building. So, yeah.
Oh, right. Because you guys were over in the lodge. We were over in the other lodge. The lodge.
Why did she force an ID? Was she new? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I don't know. I mean, I loved her at first. I was like, you're the best thing ever. I haven't been carted in 20 years. Yeah. And then I thought, do you realize fat girls were not made for that hill? Come on.
So you were huffing. The best part is she was huffing back down that hill. She does a vine of it and throws the biggest bird at the vine. It was the best vine you've ever done. Like, I've never seen you flip off with more gusto in my life.
Did you see the vine where I laid down on the alpine track?
I did.
To be a sled.
That was
a good one, too.
Oh, no, really?
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was good. I think it was, I think Viking last took that shot. Yeah.
Yeah, we did.
That was awesome. I enjoyed everyone's vines quite a bit.
Good.
Well, Cleo, it was awesome to have you here, and it's awesome to have you here now to kind of tally up today's weirdness. How'd everybody do?
I'm going to tally things in a second. I have two things I wanted to tell you. Scott, your wife was in on a gag with me that we were going to pull on you, and we didn't manage to get it pulled off.
Oh.
It was very, very disappointing. Mm. One of the members of the Tadpool works at Taco Bell, and I think you can see where this is going.
Okay.
He was going to get me a case of Taco Bell wrappers, and we were going to stuff your car full of Taco Bell papers.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah. Him was going to get me the keys and everything, but I couldn't get in touch with him right before I left, and I haven't heard from him since. He's probably good. He should be hiding.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah. And the other thing April and I, Viking Lass, have decided to do is we have our Ibbot heads, and we're going to make them into 2-inch stickers with the hashtag Ibbot bomb on the bottom and bomb the country. So
oh, my God. Really?
Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, you're the new Obey Henry is what you are, dude.
Oh,
you
my
are.
God. That is a humongous honor. I'm going to be a vandal. Yep. I mean, I'm going to be used as vandalism.
Vandal Brian.
Going to be fabulous. We also left one behind a seat cushion in the Aerie, so somebody's going to be horrified pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me see what we got for tallywacking today.
They'll taste it. They'll taste it before they see it, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tallywacking went okay at TMS. You guys were fine with that? Mm. It went
great. Okay. They were fantastic. Okay. Thank you for doing that.
All right, you're welcome.
It was kind of a high pressure moment, but you handled it really well.
Oh, thank you. Okay, MKGs in the Tadpool said, pretending to be homeless is my Neil Young cover band. Zimri said Illegal Maneuvers is my high school wrestling name.
Okay.
Takemi Kazuch, let us know. I've heard of being neck deep in crap, but I didn't think somebody would take it literally.
Ew.
Josh Atomic, which this is probably one of my favorites, Josh. Well done, sir. Lady Junk is my whole cover band. Oh, that was great.
Wow.
Mito Cheese said Peeping Tom is Merritt's new After Dark show.
Of course.
We'll have to ask about that.
Nice.
Randomy said Big Cheese Nachos is my Lost Lonely Boys cover band.
Okay.
And I'm going to come in at the end with Hit Me With Your Best Shot is my Rihanna cover band.
Yeah, you get all the points.
Nice.
Here's why you should win. You should win it for that, but also for being awesome and also for being on mic and doing that on Saturday, because I imagine that must have been a little nerve-wracking. That always is for everyone, including me. So you were a real trooper.
I really wasn't super nervous until you said how many people listen to TMS and like every hand in the room shot up and I went, oh my God.
Yeah, they've all
heard them. Been, I think of just the Tadpool and like maybe, 75 other people. But when I look down and GnomeWise has 4 tweet decks and there's 6 million people in the chat room and I went, oh, it's time to get serious. So, but we had a great time doing it. That's good. I would love to do that for you guys whenever you want me to.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. And Wendy, for example, is someone who hates hearing about how many people are listening. It freaks her out. But man, she was great on stage. She just totally nailed it.
Great.
And I told her after, I said, "You're so full of crap. You were great up there. Like you were natural at this." She's like, So yeah, we got to get her to do more stuff. Cleo, always a pleasure. Let's do this again tomorrow.
I'll be back next year.
Right on, and bring the kids.
All right, I'll be back next year with the kids.
Bye.
I will.
Bye. Oh, I cut her off.
Yay!
I didn't mean to cut her off.
Nicely done.
Well, I got a Nintendo finger. All right, speaking of Nintendo finger, let's get the hell out of here. Sebastian, it's been fun to have you around, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
It's been fun being here.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And I hope your trip continues to be eventful and wonderful, and the United States is a fine host for all your United States needs.
And we hope you eat better food than Casa Bonita.
Yes.
Oh yeah, well that shouldn't be too hard.
Hope you do as well. Huge thanks to Alpha Geek Radio and Todd Whitehead, by the way, GnomeWise, just awesome as always at Nerdtacular. He did the audio stream for us and interacted with the Tadpool and kind of kept that all alive and happening, which is so needed, and he was so willing to do that and work with the film guys and all the production guys and AV guys, and just love Todd and all that he does for the network. Really, really appreciate it. So thanks, Todd. And go to alphageekradio.com to listen to more great content. Scott Fletcher, for all he did there and does for us here. You can still get the t-shirts that were sold at Nerdtacular, including our own TMS t-shirt at /loot.com. Many of you who went may have even gotten some discount and coupon codes. Make sure you use those at /loot.com and the Frog Pants store. There's a bunch of stuff there as well. If you didn't get prints, if you wanted swag bags, all those kind of things, news on when more of that stuff will be available for those who wanted it. And we'll let you know what we're going to do with video and all that stuff. The website to visit is frogpants.com/TMS, facebook.com/themorningstream on Facebook. You can find us via email, themorningstream@gmail.com. And on Twitter, we are at morningstream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. And Sebastian, what's your Twitter account?
My Twitter account is twitter.com/mashupman.
Mashup man. What a throwback.
Still
that
milking
is.
That, huh?
Yes,
yeah, totally.
Still milking that for all it's worth. Anyway, thanks everybody for being back for our post Nerdtacular show. It'll be great to get back in the groove of things. To be honest, I'm most excited. As much as I absolutely love this weekend, I'm really, it's given me new energy to just start kicking ass with the content. So
it is such a battery recharging event.
Yeah.
100%.
So we're back, and I'll be on Twitter, or Twitter. I'll be on,
you will be on Twitter.
What the hell is it called?
Probably.
I'll be on TNT in about an hour, so
TNT,
watch for that.
Yes.
Twitlive.tv. All right, Brian, let's leave them with a happy tune in their head.
And there will be, by the way, there will be a Coverville today, if anyone's curious, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, and I believe it's going to be an indie hodgepodge show, so
yeah.
That takes very little work to put together, and I'm still exhausted and unpacking things, so...
Right.
But they're always great shows because you don't know what you're going to get. Let's tell you about an email that came in. This one actually came in and was for June 27th, but I don't think we did not have a show or anything prior to this, so it had to be postponed. Hi, Scruffy and Bald. I wanted to request a song on June 27th to celebrate my 9-year anniversary on June 29th to my very own bald and scruffy husband, John. It's been a great 9 years, and I couldn't imagine my life without him. On our third date, we went snowboarding in Vail, Colorado Connection. And on the long drive home, listened to a whole bunch of Dave Matthews Band. I knew then that this was the guy I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. I'm hoping she means John and not Dave Matthews. So if you could do a cover of or by Dave Matthews to help us celebrate our anniversary, that would be great. If not, a cover of You Shook Me All Night Long would also be appropriate. Thanks, and love the show, though. Rachel. Happy anniversary, and sorry we didn't get this a little closer to your date, but I'm hoping that you're still listening to the other shows past the anniversary date. A cover by Dave Matthews Band. Let's do this one, which came out on another Colorado Connection, KBCO. And every year they put out this album called KBCO Studio C, where they get performers that they play on the radio station in the studio to record a live track. And in this case, it was a cover of the Lefty Frizzell, but probably best known by Johnny Cash,
song called Long Black Veil, which is about a case of mistaken identity that would lead to a hanging. But divulging the truth about the mistaken identity would lead to someone getting accused of adultery. So a guy takes it for the team. And anyway,
that's
great lyrics.
That's some old-timey drama there.
Way to bring it down.
It is. Listen to the lyrics. It's awesome. It's totally awesome.
All right.
Long Black Veil, recorded by Dave Matthews for KBCO Studio C.
All right. Well, today, I should mention, is our last episode ever.
No.
I'm just kidding. It's not. We'll be back tomorrow.
That's
brand new.
Very distressing.
Very distressing. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back the next day and the next day after that even. Oh, wait. How many days is that?
No, we won't.
Nope, sorry.
No,
2 days.
We'll be here Friday.
but we will be Make here promises. For sure tomorrow. So please join us then. In the meantime, listen
your
to this.
Your mouth is writing checks that your podcasting schedule can't cash.
That's right.
That's going to do it for us. Let me leave you with this. Something I said on stage that I regret. So here's a little piece.
When he was feeling it with his dad and kind of feeling bad, I thought he was all right.
All right, there you go. take that
Thank
one back.
Ice Worm.
Thanks, Ice Worm, and everyone who kept sending me in embarrassing stuff. You'll be hearing that all week. All right, that's it. Thank you, everybody. Long Black Veil. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is not a song by me. This is a song, I can't remember who wrote it, but I know it was made famous by Johnny Cash the first time. 10 years ago, on a cold, dark night, someone was killed beneath the town hall light. There was few at the scene, but they all agreed that the killer who ran looked a lot like me. Oh, the judge said, son, what is your alibi? If you were somewhere else, then you won't have to die. Oh, but I said not a word, though it meant my life, for I'd been in the arms of my best friend's wife. Oh, she walked these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The scaffold is high, eternity is near. She stood in the crowd and shed not a tear. Oh, but sometimes at night, when the cold winds moan in a long black veil, she cries over my bones. She cries, she walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows but me. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me.
About this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Wrapped in plastic.